welcome to another episode of Write Now, a podcast on the craft and business of writing presented to you by Broadleaf Writers Association based in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Dawn Major, and on today's episode, I'm joined by author Helen P. Bradley for the discussion on grassroots marketing ideas to attract readers. You can find more about Helen at her website at www.helenpbradley.com. So I'm just going to start off with the big question. I know that you had over 100 people at your book launch. How in the hell did you do that?
I did have over 100 people at my book launch. And first of all, my advice is to plan way ahead of time, like 3 or 4 months, get your date and your location. Mm-hmm. And then you can fill everything in after that. So we got actually an art gallery, a new art gallery that wanted to help publicize their new art gallery. And they said, why don't you have your book launch with us? And so that's what we did. So it was great for her and it was great for us as well.
Yeah, it was a win-win for both of you guys to get your out there. Have you worked with that art gallery afterwards or?
Yeah, I did. I actually, a couple of months later, wrote an article about our art gallery for a local magazine here. So, collaboration is what it's all about. But the way I got people there was to just spread the word any way I could. So I printed up these postcards, which I have somewhere, and printed up postcards, and I wrote on there, "You're invited to my book launch. Come by between 4 and 6 and you can have a glass of wine and look at the art and check out
my
book."
That's so
fun. That's so fun. Will be for sale. And Dawn, I just had those postcards everywhere. I mailed them out. I took them to the YMCA. I handed them out at yard sales that I went to. I handed them out when I went to restaurants or coffee shops, just everywhere. And of course, I posted on social media as well, but just sort of spreading the word.
Do you know how many you actually sent and gave to people? Because you obviously had to print them up.
I got them printed by VistaPrint, and I think I got 250 printed. I didn't do all of those, but I probably handed out or mailed out 200 at least.
You're persistent. Did you have any idea that you're going to have that many people at your launch?
I had no idea, and neither did the bookseller. it was kind of crazy. Jody at the book lady was kind enough to do my book launch. Well, she brought 20 books. Guess what? My husband had to go back to our house in the garage and get books that I had because she ended up selling 69 books that night.
Oh my God.
It was the most she'd ever sold. So anyway, the locals have been so supportive.
Yeah.
And I just totally got the word out there that, hey, come by. And, people like to support locals and they like to people that do well. Plus, the book was set in Savannah. But, I even had a few people from Atlanta come. So it was overwhelming. I was shocked at how well it went.
I know that you were recently awarded the local, was it Savannah? It was the best local author in Savannah. What was the actual term? I can't remember. But
it was best local author and best local new book.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. And thanks to you and Broadleaf for letting us talk about grassroots marketing.
Absolutely. That's the thing. I'm pretty sure. I can speak for myself that I felt at one point there was that social media was the way to promote your book. But more and more, and I think a lot of people feel the same way, it just feels like you're just posting it. You're not really getting comments. People aren't sharing it. And it just seems like a waste of time. So I was just wondering, how do you attract readers outside of social media?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, there is a place for social media. And obviously, I included invitations on my social media to come to this book launch or to do whatever. So there is a place for that. But you know what? Grassroots marketing is where you are connecting with people one-on-one. You are connecting with readers. And I think particularly in this crazy world we're in, we need more one-on-one personal connections. And our friend Janice Ray, who is a wonderful author.
I love Janice.
Yeah, she's fabulous. She talks about how when you're doing what she calls hand-to-hand marketing, mm-hmm. that has more organic growth. So you're going to tell your sister about my book or about my book launch, or you're going to invite your next door neighbor. Oh, come have a glass of wine with me at this book launch. And it just, it's a way to connect with people and so just create a community of book lovers. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even you recruit your family members to, you know, sell your book. And I've thought about just giving my mom a stack of books. I'm like, this is my daughter's book. Yeah, I should. That's hand.
You know, Janice Ray's dad was she calls him the greatest salesman on earth. He sold 100 copies, pre-sold 100 copies of her first book years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's an amazing story. Her dad runs a junkyard in the middle of nowhere, Georgia.
I've read it, but I didn't know that detail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. So he's a great salesman. So we can follow after him and just spread the word.
Oh, daddy. I know. Well, you mentioned that you had, I mean, I think the art gallery is a really unique place to have a book launch. But what are some of the other places that you've gone that you thought that maybe you never would have thought of doing something like that before to sell your book?
Well, I have books at my hair salon up there by the
register. They keep a stack of them?
She keeps 3 books all the time at the hair salon. She said, sure, do it. And I go to farmers markets. I set up tables. I go to book festivals. I go to art events. You know, I've just been so impressed by the creators that I've been around, and they've been so supportive. So I've got a couple of places at Tybee that I have my book, and local coffee shops. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then people laugh about this one. Here on Wilmington Island in Savannah, we have the best Ace Hardware ever because they not only have tools and fertilizer and lawnmowers, they have a fabulous gift shop and a clothing area. So
have your book, right?
They have my book.
That's awesome.
It is crazy. But they're supportive. They have an event twice a year called Ladies Night, and they invite people to come in and they have sales and snacks, and they let me and about 4 other local authors set up and sell our books. So it's just fun.
And that's neat. Ace Hardware. Never thought about that.
I know.
Now is wine mandatory? that's always a big one.
It helps. Yeah, at my book launch, we ran out of wine. I thought, oh gosh, people are definitely gonna leave now. But
well, we ran out of wine, run out of books. That's pretty good, actually.
But yeah. Making connections. And I have to give credit to Chickadee Communications, a local marketing and PR firm here. Nancy Fulbright set me up at the beginning with all my social media, because you know me, I'm terrible at that stuff. And then she said to me, I kid you not, Helen, you've got to pimp yourself out. You got to talk about your book everywhere you go. So I've kind of taken her word on that.
You really do. Did I meet her at the Flannery's birthday party? She was dressed up like Flannery O'Connor.
She was.
I think I have a picture of me and her. Is she, I was going to ask you this. So actually, I mean, she's a friend of yours, but did she just do that as a friend, or does she does that?
No, it was a business deal. Yeah. Oh, I definitely paid her. Her business was sort of first getting started, and now she's working with some other authors and some other people. But yeah, it was a business deal, but how wonderful to do business with a friend, you know?
I know, someone you can trust too, because
exactly.
As we both know, it's pretty crazy out there. You don't know what you're getting into half the time.
Exactly.
But I'll have to put her into my mental box for the next book out there.
Oh, absolutely. She's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, she was fun at Flannery's, and that was a lot of fun. The 100th birthday celebration, that was sweet.
It was. I'm so glad you came down for that.
I'm really glad. I was exhausted, but it was so fun.
It was.
So I was going to ask you about your newsletter. I mean, obviously, I'm signed up for your newsletter, and I think it's wonderful and everything. But you know, that's another thing, you had to start from scratch and figure out how to do that. And so I was going to ask you, what do you put in your newsletter? And then also, how do you get people to sign up for it? And how do you get people to stay tuned in and not, sign up and then just unsubscribe?
Right. Well, when I go to these events that I mentioned, like, if I'm at a speaking engagement or at a book club or at Flannery O'Connor's author fair or whatever, I have a. Can you see me? Can you see this?
Yeah, Hold it up a
Okay.
little bit more. Okay,
Can you
there
see?
you go.
All right. So
Yeah.
somebody gave me this and they said, Helen, this was for my daughter's, bridal shower, and we didn't use it. It's a guest book, nothing fancy. I take this every single place I go, and I say, like, if I'm sitting down at the farmer's market with my table and all my stuff, we're chatting, and I'll say, every couple of months, I send out an e-letter, a newsletter by email. If you'd like to be on my email list, sign up. No pressure, but if you want to, sign up.
How
When
full
I
is
go,
that
I've got a lot of stuff in it. I've got over 600 email subscribers to my
Do
newsletter.
you really? I should have been doing this thing a long time, but this is why it's so important to be talking to you about this, because these are the ideas that you just never know about. And I know
Right.
when
Well,
I met you, I mean, you helped me so much when we went to Flannery's 100th birthday celebration. I have done like one author event at a library. I just brought my books. I mean, I had like a sticky note. You had it all set up. I mean, I didn't even have a table, so I really appreciate it. But that brings
no,
me.
let me tell you, there's a lot to learn, but I always ask if they want to be on the newsletter list. And if I use MailChimp, there's all
Yeah.
sorts of things.
Is it easy? You think MailChimp is easy?
It's pretty easy. I'm terrible at tech stuff, but it's not that hard. And up to 500 subscribers, it's free. So if you
Oh,
get
so
at least,
now you're paying a little fee because
I
you got
know
over.
I paid $25 a
See,
month.
you're big time, but
Yeah,
this is
Nancy
like,
said, oh,
what'd she
well.
say?
She said, oh, well, that's what you get for fame. I'm like, yeah, right. But anyway.
It's great though because for your next book, then it means you already have all those followers,
Yeah.
and
And
even if you have a zillion
MailChimp.
followers, then go ahead.
MailChimp will give you the data. I mean, not everybody opens it, but things that you can include in there are your upcoming events. I always like to include something about someone else, like, oh, I'm reading this new book by Dawn Major. It's really fabulous. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
So supporting other people, maybe putting a little something personal in there, nothing big, but people love pets, so we could know about your puppies and have a picture of that. And I only do mine every other month, partly because I'm lazy, but I don't want to overwhelm people too. I don't want to do it every week, and that would be kind of
I
too
know.
much.
Well, I mean, there to some extent you have to do that at the beginning. I know with my blog, because then Google finds you, and so I
Right.
was blogging every week, but it's so much work to do that. And now it's out
Yeah.
there, it's kind of established, and I've stepped away from a lot of that stuff
Yeah.
because ultimately you
Well,
just want to be writing too,
exactly. I mean, and the thing is, Dawn, as you know, even traditionally published authors now have to do a lot of their own marketing. And of course, you and I certainly did with a small publisher. We have to do everything. So trying
Everything.
to make it as simple as possible. And by the way, speaking of that book launch, I had lots of friends and my sister help do everything. So make it simple, make it easy, the book launch, make it fun. Don't
Did you
overdo
already
it.
have bookmarks? And I know you like at your table you have bookmarks. And what other kind of items do you bring to attract readers to your table?
I have bookmarks. I'll have some little candy. If you think kids are going to be there, have a little stickers. I have little stickers for kids. One of my friends, particularly helpful in the deep south, gives out a fan. Can you see? Yeah. So Maggie Redmond gives out a fan about her book. And of course, let me go into my bag here.
Your bag of tricks.
Yeah. Where did it go? Where did it go? Well, anyway, oh, here it is. I'd have taken it out.
You're backing me up.
I
Oh,
have
yes.
this little music box that's a typewriter. And let me tell you something, people don't care about me necessarily, but they were come to that table and look at this little typewriter that's the cutest thing ever that I got at a yard
Is.
sale for $3. Crazy.
That thing's paid for itself.
Oh, you
More
bet. I had somebody at that Flannery event saying, I want to buy that. I said, are you kidding? I wouldn't sell this for anything.
it's been your lucky charm. I bet kids don't even know what it is.
Oh, they have no
Like of
clue.
a certain age, they probably have no idea what it
I tell them it's like a computer from a long time ago.
is. So I want to also ask you about the dreaded elevator pitch. Oh my God, that's worse than
Oh.
writing a book. You know, I don't know.
Oh.
Because for I learned a lot from you that day at the 100th birthday party for Finding Your Connor. I mean, well, we've kind of fed off each other. So
Yeah,
I would
well, I learned
talk
a
to
lot
your
from you.
I don't know. I was just like, oh, I should have. Oh, one of the things you did that I really liked is you had a frame of your blurbs. And I thought that was really clever because then you, in a way, you don't have to give them this elevator pitch. But I felt, you know, I listened to you because, and it felt so natural that people would come up and ask, oh, what's your book about? And you just had it down. It was, and I mean, I know what my book is about, right? And I know my elevator pitch, but I could see people kind of sort of like, not quite get it. So I would flip over to something else about the book. And then if they didn't get that, then I flip over. It was kind of exhausting until, you know, I mean, that's the ultimate salesperson, I guess, and be trying to figure out like, oh, their eyes are getting lost
Yeah.
there. But
Well,
how do you
the
approach
elevator
you guys writers about you know, writing your elevator pitch and
well,
any kind of ideas?
it's hard, and I Google all kind of stuff. You want it to be like two or three sentences. And of course, the
Yeah.
deal is if you're riding with somebody on an elevator and they say, "Well, what is your book about?" You know, I used to just babble on and on and blah, 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 blah. It's set in Savannah, blah. But it's the main, it's what you want readers or the public or even agents. You want to catch their interest right away so they will want to read more. So you don't give the great backstory or the history, you don't name all the characters, you know, you just say a couple of sentences that are punchy, and it takes, and then you have to practice it because I
Yeah,
get
not
confused
stumble over the
sometimes.
words.
Exactly. But
Did
there's
you
some
find
great.
yourself giving your, you know, you have your standard elevator pitch so you're probably really comfortable with, but did you find yourself doing what I did where you could see people, you know, you feel like you didn't quite catch them with that initial elevator pitch and so you start talking about a different element about the book?
Absolutely. You see what's going to interest them. And, you know, I
Yeah.
have a lot of people too talk about how, oh, I'm too shy. I don't want to go and do all this stuff. Well, I found that other people love to talk. So I may not mention my book at first and just say, oh, well, what do you like to read? And they may say, oh,
That's
I
a good
like
approach.
fantasy or I like local this. And then they'll start talking. And so many people talk also about how they want to write. So I had a lot of people
Oh,
talk about
yes.
writing. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. I've got stuck with a few people where, you know, you're there with your book and they just went on and on about what they want to write. And I mean, but we've all been there. You know, we've had that little fantasy of wanting to write. And for a long time, it was just this fantasy. And then when you start doing it, you feel like, okay, when can you say out loud, I'm a writer? Or, and then you get your
No.
book published and you still feel weird about saying, I'm a writer. You know, I don't, there's a whole imposter syndrome.
I hear you.
Do you feel like you're comfortable in your own skin now?
Most of the time. Yeah. You know, there's still times that I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, I do. And it's just because I've found people have been supportive and they want you to succeed. You know, if they know you or they went to school with you or they worked with you or go to yoga class with you, they want you to succeed. So I'm getting better, but it's awkward. It's
Yeah,
awkward. But
I
again,
remember.
you just
Go
have
ahead.
to be proud of your product. That's what Janice Ray says, or her dad actually says that you have to first have a good product to sell. So ours is a book. And you've got to do all the work on making it a great book. And then you have to just be able to put yourself out there and not in a cringy way, you know,
Yeah.
but in a way that's just telling about yourself. But hey, you know, my sister laughs at me. She's like, oh my gosh, Helen, anywhere you go, you're like, I wrote a book. I'm like, that's not true. I just don't do that. But, you know, here's an example. Sitting down at getting a pedicure, the young woman beside me is reading a book and talking about books. And what did I say? I wrote a book.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
she was like, oh my gosh, my professor at Georgia Southern does this podcast and interviews writers and authors. You need to contact her. Well, I did.
Did
So
you
you
really?
see,
Oh, good.
so the
You just
connection
never
that I
know.
made sitting there. And that's why we talk about, grassroots marketing is person to person, and it's just organic. So I met this wonderful woman who is all about writing, and I met it because I met her because I was talking to her student at the pedicure salon.
Have you done a lot of podcasts?
No, I haven't done a lot, but some. Have you? Yeah,
here and there, you know, here and there. Of course, this is my first one actually interviewing someone for right now. So I'm like, but you know, who else better to do it with than my Steel Magnolia?
Exactly.
So I was going to ask you about, you know, I know you have a niche market and that your book is about domestic violence and victims of crime. And I was wondering how you tapped into those readers about those topics. Because that's a tough topic too.
It is. But it's also a universal topic. I don't go to a book club that I don't have somebody say, I know somebody who's a domestic violence victim, or my sister was, or I was, or my next door neighbor. Or so it's universal. And when people are willing to talk and share with me, and also sexual harassment is in my book. So that's talked about a lot. But here's an example. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So when our safe shelter for domestic violence victims, our emergency shelter, had a big fundraiser and a big gala, I donated a couple of copies of my book to be given away, auctioned away at their auction. And so that was just a way to get to those people who are interested in domestic violence. But here's the thing, Dawn. You know, I'm not a New York Times bestseller. I'm not going to be one.
Not yet.
But 2 weeks after I had donated those books to the Safe Shelter auction gala, I got an email from the volunteer coordinator at Safe Shelter, who I didn't know. And she said, Helen, I want to tell you that I had a woman call, said she had read your book, and she realized the pain that domestic violence victims go through. And because she read your book, she wants to volunteer at Safe Shelter. Aww. I said, you know what? If I don't sell another book,
I'm okay.
Because it touched that person who then decided to help victims. So I told my husband that night, I said, you know what? This is what it's all about. Connecting with people.
That's huge. Have you ever had any victims of domestic abuse come up to you and say that? I mean, I don't know if you want to answer that, but I've just wondered about that as well.
Oh, yeah. I have. Oh, yeah. I definitely have. Not a lot, but at some book clubs, and I've had people come up to me afterwards, and I've had some people talk about sexual harassment in the workplace and that kind of thing. So it's, as you know, because you've got domestic violence in your book, it's a topic that's pretty universal.
It is. Sadly, it is.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your writing community. You're probably in a lot of book clubs. I assume you're. No,
I'm not.
Do you go, I mean, do you go to a lot of book clubs? Or
I visit book clubs.
Let me back up. Have you had your book as a selection for a book club?
Yes, I have done that, because everywhere I go, events, talks, I say two things. You want to sign up for my newsletter? And if you or anybody you know is in a book club, I love to visit book clubs. It is my favorite thing to do. What is more fun than sitting around with readers talking about books, eating snacks, and drinking wine? I mean,
yeah, there's nothing better.
I'm in heaven. And I've even done some virtual ones. So, you know, I can Zoom with people in, you know, Philadelphia or Atlanta. I did one with somebody in Atlanta. So I do visit book clubs, and it's my absolute favorite thing to do. I've seen a statistic lately that more younger people are into book clubs. So that's just good to know.
That's hopeful.
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone read anymore.
Yeah. And having said that, you know, senior citizen centers have them, communities, neighborhoods have book clubs. There's one big neighborhood here that has like 5 book clubs in the whole subdivision. I'm like, oh my gosh, how fun. So I love book clubs. It's just my favorite. And I love that one-on-one connection. I'm not standing up speaking to people, which makes me nervous.
I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit better about just standing up and speaking to people. Give me a podium. Give me something to, you know, put a wall up. I felt like it was harder when people just came out of the blue, and, you know, you're just exposing a bit. But I guess it's just a matter of doing it over and over and over again until you get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But I was so glad to have you there next to me.
Well, you did great that day. You were just like,
did great. I sold more books than I ever did there. So
that's
so interesting.
You got to come back to Savannah. Yeah, we're a good team. Put us beside each other. There's no telling what we'll do.
You know, what's next? So I was wanting to go back to the book club thing, because I was wondering how they structured that. Because when I've been in book clubs, usually they give you a list of books. You pick one. So let's say Breach of Trust is picked. You know, do you know ahead of time they're going to pick it? And then you go like the month later or the month that they've already read it. And do you do like a Q&A with them?
Yeah, it's a Q&A. So they will have read the book. And then I have a list of questions if they ever want it. But usually it's just real natural. And they just sit around and chat about, oh, I wondered about this. And of course, they always ask, how much of this is true? You know, Savannah people are always asking that. It's just really, it's usually informal, although it is a good idea as an author to have a list of possible questions just in case anybody asks for that or if they want that. And then, they will have read the book and then we chat about it.
And I've seen, maybe this will be for future books, I've seen in some novels where the author will have a list of questions in the back of the book for discussion of book clubs. So maybe in like future self, would think about doing something like
that's
that.
That's a good idea.
It makes it, that's just ding, ding, ding. That would make it easier for book clubs to go, here's the questions. They don't even have to put it together.
Yeah, it makes it so easy for them. That's a great idea. And I did not put questions in the back of my book, but I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. Well, I did a soundtrack, and I think you.
Oh, I love that.
Talked about doing a soundtrack. Did you have a soundtrack in your book?
No, but that's the best idea ever.
Yeah, I did I got it from Zach because his book was so full. His first book was so full of songs. It's like 80s and stuff. So I did what I did is a QR code to Spotify, and then I had the list of each song. And my idea was that everybody. Like, because, it was a mosaic novel, so you could read it as chapters or short stories.
Right.
My idea was that the songs that were mentioned in each story, you could listen to it. This is how I imagine my readers listen to the soundtrack.
I think that's a fun idea. That's a great idea.
His music's so big, to everybody's. Fun.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you about what you're working on next. After Breach of Trust, any kind of projects or events you have going on, your next book, just tell me it all.
Well, I am working on another book, and I cannot take as long to write that one as this one, or I'll be like 120 years old. So,
did it take to write this one?
I'm not going to tell you.
Because I was like, I don't know how long it took you. You got to tell.
All right. From the idea to doing it, it was almost 10 years because I didn't know.
That's okay.
I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. And then anyway, I went to Broadleaf Writers Conference and I learned more about how to write a book, and I met people and I learned a lot. And again, that was up and down and stopping and starting, but, And I will say, you talked about this earlier, but my writing critique group, my Breach of Trust would not exist without that group of writers. Yeah. They are phenomenal. They inspired me. They motivated me. They kept me on track because you can't be in a writer's group forever if you don't write.
You got to show up with something.
Exactly.
Are you still with that same group?
Same group. Now, obviously, there are only four of us, and because it's really intense, we meet every week. It's intense. So, and they are wonderful, and I truly could not have done it without them. And then I'm now in another writers group that is not the critique group, but more like a support group and learning and stuff. So I am working on another book. It is not a sequel to Breach of Trust. Some people ask for that, but I'm done with that story. However, it does have the same main character, Anne Gardner, and
See, I like that. So it's not
later in life.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And would it take place in Savannah?
Yep.
So she hasn't moved anywhere.
Well, just to another house. She had to move away from Tybee to Savannah. So, And then the other thing that I'm working on, just because I've had people ask me about it all the time, like you, is I'm hoping to do a grassroots marketing, hopefully in-person class here in Savannah, you know, just a couple hours of a workshop, and then maybe be able to take that to other places. So that's just something I'm working on. What are you working on?
Everything. Good Lord. I think I'm going to be finished with this. It's called Chronicles in Dandyland, and it's a speculative, it's the same concept, the Mosaic novel. So they're chapters, but it follows this little girl in Los Angeles. Wonder who that's about. but her parents are demons and all, you know, of course they are. But I'm actually, I think I'm going to be finished with that. Well, this is what I'll say. I really want to be finished with it by the end of summer.
Okay.
That is my goal.
So, okay, good.
You know, I'm pecking away at it.
Good.
How far are you into your book?
I'm on chapter 18, and I don't know how many chapters, how many chapters are going to be. I have no clue.
Are you one of those writers that, like, you don't know exactly, or do you outline everything?
I do not outline everything. I certainly didn't with Breach of Trust. I was just like a hot mess. But with this book, I'm trying to be not quite so much as a pantser. I'm trying to at least have a little idea of where I'm going. So that's why I'm hoping it won't take me so long.
This time, I mean, this is as far as I can be to, like, you know, being organized, so to speak, as I print it off. I actually printed some pages and I was like, sometimes you see it on the page, you're like, oh, that doesn't fit there. But I wouldn't even do that. I'm like, I'm just moving chunks around, you know?
I know. I mean, with the last one, I had like index cards all over above my computer. And
well, that sounds pretty organized, actually. Yeah.
Well, a little bit, but.
But so are you currently, as part of your grassroots marketing plan, are you are you going out there and already talking about your next book to people besides me, obviously, right now?
Well, I'm not, because I don't want people ask me all the time, are you done with it? Because I might not be done with it. But what I'm talking about, I mean, what I want to talk about is grassroots marketing as far as breach of trust, you know, how I got out in the community and continue to get out in the community and, you know, just try to spread the word and meet. I've met the most interesting people. You know, it's just been so much fun to connect with folks, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And so it's been a lot of one-on-one. Oh, and one thing I want to mention is, don't forget your alumni associations, colleges, your high schools, your magazines. Here's an example. Right after the book came out, in my Clemson University, don't say anything bad about Clemson. I'm just teasing. I love Georgia. Now that I'm in Georgia.
My Georgia Bulldogs in the other room.
yeah. So, you know, I sent a little blurb. They have little things, alumni things, like so-and-so got promoted to CEO of whatever, or so-and-so had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I sent something 2 years ago saying, I published a book. And of course, the backstory in the book is set in Clemson. So, okay. So that was great. And they printed 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from the alumni magazine saying, Helen, we're doing a feature for our summer issue about summer reading, and we want to include some authors who went to Clemson. So it's so, you know, it was just that little connection. So don't forget alumni associations. Sure. And the other thing to think about, and I know I'm babbling, you're going to have to hush
me up. No, you're good. You're good.
What time is it? Okay. So
we got a little time. We got a few minutes.
This is what somebody asked me when we were talking about marketing. She said, Helen, why do you decide to buy a book or go to the library and get that book? So I thought about the last few books that I had bought, right?
Yeah.
And it was, here, one example would be, oh, well, I met so-and-so at the Broadleaf Writers Conference, and I really liked her, and I decided to buy her book. I didn't know about her book. I didn't even know her before this event. I went to a pop-up event where a woman, Cindy Otis, was about to open the Stax bookstore in Savannah, met her, wanted to support her, you know, trying to open a business. So I bought this YA book. And I said, I'm going to give that to my little niece. I don't even read YA, but why did I buy the book? Because I met her, liked her, wanted to support her. I came home that Friday night. I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning reading that book. It was so darn good.
Did you really?
2 o'clock in the morning. So, what makes you
The
want to?
reason I was enthusiastic about so enthusiastic is like the same thing. I'm always buying my friends, their books or whatever. And I was in the festival in Baton Rouge this past October, and I met this YA author, and we kind of just clung on to each other. You never, sometimes just mesh with people. And I was like, I'm not really into YA, but I bought her book. And even if you don't, even if it's not your thing and you don't end up reading it, books make great gifts. So.
See, and this is what I'm talking about, that connection, spreading the word through personal contact, not just necessarily a Facebook ad or whatever. It's connecting with people. So that's where
Do
it's all
you
at.
even you how often do you look at your Facebook or post about your book on Facebook? Do you have a this just made me think about because we're talking about grassroots, but we're also talking a little bit about like what's not working with social media. I mean, do you have like, okay, I look at Facebook this or any, not just Facebook or Insta or whatever, Threads. Do you look at it 3 times a week at this time? Some people are very scheduled about so they don't get sucked in. Or how many posts am I gonna share on social media? Because it feels like I'll get like the same person, the same same feed all the time. So and then like other people who are writing books, I get nothing from them. So that's a great mystery with social media. But do you have any kind of schedule that you do, or you just
No, I do not have a schedule. When I have an event or when I do something, I will post something. But a lot of people are like, you should post something every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well,
That's
you
what I
know
was
what?
gonna, yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
I don't do that. That's fine. But if I have, oh, and but by the way, everywhere you go, take pictures. You're going to use them for your newsletter and you're
The
going to use them for
newsletter.
social media. Everywhere you go, just whatever. And get other people to take pictures of themselves with your book. Oh, I'm at the beach and I'm reading Dawn's book. Oh, sitting in the chair
Definitely,
having a
definitely put
cool
it
time.
next to your dog. That's
Oh,
the
you got it.
only thing people will comment on is pet pictures. Your book and a pet picture.
You're right. You're right. Oh, by the way, my new book has a rescue dog in it, and I'm excited about this dog.
As a character, right? Well, I guess I should say thank you so much. Of course, thank you so much for playing along with right now's podcast. And I'm so glad to be your friend and support you and you support me. So
Thank
it's
you,
been an
Dawn,
honor
and
to know
thank you,
you.
Dawn
This
Lee.
was fun.
I'm so excited to be at the conference in September
Oh,
and
good.
hang out with people like you that I know and meet more people. So
Yeah, it's
thanks.
gonna be a
And
big deal with the 10th anniversary. It's gonna be huge.
oh, it's going to be huge. I can't
Yeah.
wait. Thank
Okay, well,
you so
thanks, hon.
much.
All right, I'll
Bye.
be talking to you. I'll be texting you.
Sounds good.
All
Bye.
right.